and less respect for them, period. Democrats, we are the party of working people. But we haven't done a good enough job showing we get what you're going through, and we're going to do something to help. So tonight I want to tell you how we will empower Americans to live better lives. My primary mission as president will be to create more opportunity and more good jobs with rising wages right here in the United States. From my first day in office to my last, especially in places that for too long have been left out and left behind, from our inner cities to our small towns, from Indian country to coal country, from communities ravaged by addiction to regions hollowed out by plant closures. And here's what I believe. I believe America thrives when the middle class thrives. I believe our economy isn't working the way it should because our democracy isn't working the way it should. That's why we need to appoint Supreme Court justices who will get money out of politics and expand voting rights, not restrict them. And if necessary, we will pass a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. American corporations that have gotten so much from our country should be just as patriotic in return. Many of them are, but too many aren't. It's wrong to take tax breaks with one hand and give out pink slips with the other. And I believe Wall Street can never, ever be allowed to wreck Main Street again. And I believe in science. Climate change is real, and that we can save our planet while creating millions of good-paying clean energy jobs. I believe that when we have millions of hard-working immigrants contributing to our economy, it would be self-defeating and inhumane to try to kick them out. Comprehensive immigration reform will grow our economy and keep families together, and it's the right thing to do. So, whatever party you belong to, or if you belong to no party at all, if you share these beliefs, this is your campaign. If you believe that companies should share profits, not pad executive bonuses, join us. If you believe the minimum wage should be a living wage and no one working full-time should have to raise their children in poverty, join us. If you believe that every man, woman, and child in America has the right to affordable health care, join us. If you believe that we should say no to unfair trade deals, that we should stand up to China, that we should support our steel workers and auto workers and homegrown manufacturers, then join us. If you believe we should expand Social Security and protect a woman's right to make her own health care decisions, then join us. And yes, if you believe that your working mother, wife, sister, or daughter deserves equal pay, join us. That's how we're going to make sure this economy works for everyone, not just those at the top. Now, you didn't hear any of this, did you, from Donald Trump at his convention? He spoke for 70-odd minutes, and I do mean odd. And he offered zero solutions. But we already know he doesn't believe these things. No wonder he doesn't like talking about his plans. You might have noticed I love talking about mine. In my first 100 days, we will work with both parties to pass the biggest investment in new good-paying jobs since World War II. Jobs in manufacturing, clean energy, technology and innovation, small business and infrastructure. If we invest in infrastructure now, we'll not only create jobs today, but lay the foundation for the jobs of the future. And we will also transform the way we prepare our young people for those jobs. Bernie Sanders and I will work together to make college tuition free for the middle class and debt-free for all. We will also liberate millions of people who already have student debt. It's just not right that Donald Trump can ignore his debts and students and families can't refinance their debts. And something we don't say often enough, sure, college is crucial, but a four-year degree should not be the only path to a good job. We will help more people learn a skill or practice a trade and make a good living doing it. We will give small businesses like my dad's a boost, make it easier to get credit. Way too many dreams die in the parking lots of banks. In America, if you can dream it, you should be able to build it. And we will help you balance family and work. And you know what? If fighting for affordable childcare and paid family leave is playing the woman card, then deal me in. Now here's the other thing. We're not only going to make all of these investments, we're going to pay for every single one of them. And here's how. Wall Street, corporations, and the super rich are going to start paying their fair share of taxes. This is not because we resent success. But when more than 90% of the gains have gone to the top 1%, that's where the money is. And we are going to follow the money. And if companies take tax breaks and then ship jobs overseas, we'll make them pay us back, and we'll put that money to work where it belongs, creating jobs here at home. Now I imagine that some of you are sitting at home thinking, well, that all sounds pretty good, but how are you going to get it done? How are you going to break through the gridlock in Washington? Well, look at my record. I've worked across the aisle to pass laws and treaties and to launch new programs that help millions of people. And if you give me the chance, that's exactly what I'll do as president. But then I also imagine people are thinking out there, but Trump, he's a businessman. He must know something about the economy. Well, let's take a closer look, shall we? In Atlantic City, 60 miles from here, you will find contractors and small businesses who lost everything because Donald Trump refused to pay his bills. Now remember what the president said last night. Don't boo, vote. But think of this. People who did the work and needed the money, not because he couldn't pay them, but because he wouldn't pay them. He just stiffed them. And you know that sales pitch he's making to be president? Put your faith in him and you'll win big. That's the same sales pitch he made to all those small businesses. Then Trump walked away and left working people holding the bag. He also talks a big game about putting America first. Well, please explain what part of America first leads him to make Trump ties in China, not Colorado, Trump suits in Mexico, not Michigan, Trump furniture in Turkey, not Ohio, Trump picture frames in India, not Wisconsin. Donald Trump says he wants to make America great again. Well, he could start by actually making things in America again. Now, the choice we face in this election is just as stark when it comes to our national security. Anyone reading the news can see the threats and turbulence we face, from Baghdad to Kabul to Nice and Paris and Brussels, from San Bernardino to Orlando. We're dealing with determined enemies that must be defeated. So it's no wonder that people are anxious and looking for reassurance, looking for steady leadership, wanting a leader who understands we are stronger when we work with our allies around the world and care for our veterans here at home. Keeping our nation safe and honoring the people who do that work will be my highest priority. I'm proud that we put a lid on Iran's nuclear program without firing a single shot. Now we have to enforce it, and we must keep supporting Israel's security. I'm proud that we shaped a global climate agreement. Now we have to hold every country accountable to their commitments, including ourselves. And I'm proud to stand by our allies in NATO against any threat they face, including from Russia. I've laid out my strategy for defeating ISIS. We will strike their sanctuaries from the air and support local forces taking them out on the ground. We will surge our intelligence so we detect and prevent attacks before they happen. We will disrupt their efforts online to reach and radicalize young people in our country. It won't be easy or quick, but make no mistake, we will prevail. Now, Donald Trump says, and this is a quote, "I know more about ISIS than the generals do." No, Donald, you don't. He thinks he knows more than our military because he claimed our armed forces are a disaster. Well, I've had the privilege to work closely with our troops and our veterans for many years, including as a senator on the Armed Services Committee, and I know how wrong he is. Our military is a national treasure. We entrust our commander-in-chief to make the hardest decisions our nation faces. Decisions about war and peace, life and death. A president should respect the men and women who risk their lives to serve our country. Including Captain Khan and the sons of Tim Kaine and Mike Pence, both Marines. So just ask yourself, do you really think Donald Trump has the temperament to be commander-in-chief? No! Donald Trump can't even handle the rough and tumble of a presidential campaign. He loses his cool at the slightest provocation. When he's gotten a tough question from a reporter, when he's challenged in a debate, when he sees a protester at a rally, imagine, if you dare, imagine him in the Oval Office facing a real crisis. A man you can bait with a tweet is not a man we can trust with nuclear weapons. I can't put it any better than Jackie Kennedy did after the Cuban Missile Crisis. She said that what worried President Kennedy during that very dangerous time was that a war might be started, not by big men with self-control and restraint, but by little men, the ones moved by fear and pride. America's strength doesn't come from lashing out. It relies on smarts, judgment, cool resolve, and the precise and strategic application of power. And that's the kind of commander-in-chief I pledge to be. And if we're serious about keeping our country safe, we also can't afford to have a president who's in the pocket of the gun lobby. I'm not here to repeal the Second Amendment. I'm not here to take away your guns. I just don't want you to be shot by someone who shouldn't have a gun in the first place. We will work tirelessly with responsible gun owners to pass common sense reforms and keep guns out of the hands of criminals, terrorists, and all others who would do us harm. You know, for decades, people have said this issue was too hard to solve and the politics too hot to touch. But I ask you, How can we just stand by and do nothing? You heard, you saw family members of people killed by gun violence on this stage. You heard, you saw family members of police officers killed in the line of duty because they were outgunned by criminals. I refuse to believe we can't find common ground here. We have to heal the divides in our country, not just on guns, but on race, immigration, and more. And that starts with listening to each other, trying as best we can to walk in each other's shoes. So let's put ourselves in the shoes of young Black and Latino men and women who face the effects of systemic racism and are made to feel like their lives are disposable. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of police officers kissing their kids and spouses goodbye every day, heading off to do a dangerous and necessary job. We will reform our criminal justice system from end to end and rebuild trust between law enforcement and the communities they serve. And we will defend all our rights, civil rights, human rights, and voting rights, women's rights and workers' rights, LGBT rights, and the rights of people with disabilities. And we will stand up against mean and divisive rhetoric wherever it comes from. You know, for the past year, many people made the mistake of laughing off Donald Trump's comments, excusing him as an entertainer just putting on a show. They thought he couldn't possibly mean all the horrible things he says, like when he called women pigs or said that an American judge couldn't be fair because of his Mexican heritage, or when he mocks and mimics a reporter with a disability or insults prisoners of war like John McCain, a hero and a patriot who deserves our respect. Now, at first, I admit, I couldn't believe he meant it either. It was just too hard to fathom that someone who wants to lead our nation could say those things, could be like that. But here's the sad truth. There is no other Donald Trump. This is it. And in the end, it comes down to what Donald Trump doesn't get. America is great because America is good. So, enough with the bigotry and the bombast. Donald Trump's not offering real change, he's offering empty promises. And what are we offering? A bold agenda to improve the lives of people across our country, to keep you safe, to get you good jobs, to give your kids the opportunities they deserve. The choice is clear, my friends. Every generation of Americans has come together to make our country freer, fairer, and stronger. None of us ever have or can do it alone. I know that at a time when so much seems to be pulling us apart, it can be hard to imagine how we'll ever pull together. But I'm here to tell you tonight, progress is possible. I know because I've seen it in the lives of people across America who get knocked down and get right back up. And I know it from my own life. More than a few times, I've had to pick myself up and get back in the game. Like so much else in my life, I got this from my mother, too. She never let me back down from any challenge. When I tried to hide from a neighborhood bully, she literally blocked the door. "Go back out there," she said. And she was right. You have to stand up to bullies. You have to keep working to make things better, even when the odds are long and the opposition is fierce. We lost our mother a few years ago, but I miss her every day, and I still hear her voice urging me to keep working, keep fighting for right no matter what. That's what we need to do together as a nation. And though we may not live to see the glory, as the song from the musical Hamilton goes, let us gladly join the fight. Let our legacy be about planting seeds in a garden you never get to see. That's why we're here, not just in this hall, but on this earth. The founders showed us that, and so have many others since. They were drawn together by love of country and the selfless passion to build something better for all who follow. That is the story of America, and we begin a new chapter tonight. Yes, the world is watching what we do. Yes, America's destiny is ours to choose. So let's be stronger together, my fellow Americans. Let's look to the future with courage and confidence. Let's build a better tomorrow for our beloved children and our beloved country. And when we do, America will be greater than ever. Thank you, and may God bless you and the United States of America.
Hillary Rodham Clinton makes history as the first woman to be nominated as a presidential nominee for President of the United States. We have joined in studio here as VOA's live coverage of the acceptance speech on the final night of the Democratic National Convention here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Joining me in studio, Andrew Palcheski, and on the line is Doug Bernard in Philadelphia. What are your first thoughts, Doug, on this pretty amazing speech? She covered a lot of issues.
She did, and in 30 seconds, this speech was quintessentially Hillary. What she did best at was talking about the things that she has done or the things that she will do. She is not one that I think is given to rising rhetoric and you know, sort of oratorical, you know, fireworks, those kinds of things. But she clearly speaks from the sense of what it is that she has done, what it is that she chooses to do. So in terms of did she do what she needed to do tonight, I think she clearly laid out. I don't think there can be any confusion at this point about who Secretary Clinton is, what her presidency might look like, and how it would differ from a possible presidency of Donald Trump.
Right. Now, I mean, she's on stage right now. Tim Kaine just joined her vice presidential pick as a running mate. Andrew, I can only imagine there's a lot of stuff trending right now.
There's almost too much to talk about.
There were so many lines that I kept thinking, that's going to be a hashtag.
And every time there was one of those lines, we saw Twitter just light up and everyone start talking about it. But one of the lines that it's right now, initially, a lot of people are talking about, when Hillary said, "A man you can bait with a tweet is not a man to trust with nuclear weapons." People loved that line. It was so succinct. Mentioned the social media, which they love. They love to tweet about tweeting. So a lot of people talking about that on social media.
And we're now joined. Thanks so much, Andrew. That was quite a line. It did get quite a stir. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone there at the convention. Now I'm looking now. Bill Clinton has joined Hillary on stage. They've embraced. Jim Malone, I can only imagine what the energy in that room is right now.
Yeah, and I saw this same scene 24 years ago, Madison Square Garden. The roles were reversed. Bill Clinton was the nominee. Hillary Clinton was, of course, the soon-to-be First Lady. Here we are 24 years later. The Clinton is still dominating the national spotlight, but tonight, history was made here in Philadelphia. I just have a line in my piece about the city that gave us the founding fathers. Well, the first woman now to be nominated by a major political